Al Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ma zilna ma'akum fi qissati al-sahabi al-jalil Ka'b ibn Malik, wa huwa yasrudu قصة تخلفه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك. وصلنا إلى قول كعب: ولم يذكرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى بلغ تبوك. فقال وهو جالس في القوم بتبوك: ما فعل كعب؟ فقال رجل من بني سلمة: يا رسول الله، حبسه برداه ونظره في عطفه. فقال معاذ بن جبل: بئس ما قلت، والله يا رسول الله ما علمنا عليه إلا خيرا. فسكت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. من هذه القصة نستفيد منزلة كعب وشهرته، وهذا دليل على صدق إيمانه وعظيم بلائه. والعمل الصالح يشهر صاحبه فيفتقد، بخلاف من عمل ليشتهر، فإن من بحث عن الشهرة والذكر بعد عنه، ومن أعرض عنها أسرعت إليه. وقد يحصل على الشهرة المزيفة متعرض لها بعد تعب وذلة. إذن هذه القصة أو سؤال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن كعب دليل على مكانته عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، دليل على أنه كان له منزلة عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونحن كما مر معنا أن كعبا كان ممن شهد الغزوات كلها ما عدا بدر، أنه شهد الغزوات وكان ينافح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بشعره. فمن هذا عمله لا يفتقد أو لا ينسى، من هذا عمله لا ينسى. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتفقد أصحابه بين الفينة والأخرى. مر معنا في السنة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم افتقد امرأة سوداء كانت تقم المسجد، يعني لم يمضي وقت طويل على غيابها حتى تفقدها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هي ماتت ليلا، فبعد في اليوم التالي لم يرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتفقدها. قال فسأل عنها فقالوا ماتت ليلا، فكرهنا أن نؤذنك بها، يعني ليلا كرهوا أن يعلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأمرها ليلا، لم يريدوا أن يزعجوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فذهب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى قبرها فصلى عليها. إذن من سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان يتفقد أصحابه حتى ولو كانوا ليسوا مشهورين في المجتمع. يعني هذه الامرأة السوداء إذا كانت تفقدها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكيف بمثل كعب رضي الله تعالى عنه. فأيضا نستفيد أن بعض الناس إذا غاب رسمه غاب اسمه، بل ربما نسي اسمه وهو حي. لكن العلماء والدعاة والمصلحون الذين يخالطون الناس ويحملون همومهم يبقون أحياء في قلوب الناس وإن كانوا أمواتا منذ مئات السنين. يا رب حي رخام القبر مسكنه، ورب ميت على أقدامه انتصبا. إذن يا عباد الله، الإنسان يشتهر بعمله الصالح. فلو نظرنا إلى الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم، إلى من حفظوا سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وضحوا من أجل جمعها وضحوا من أجل نشرها بين الناس، أبقى الله لهم السيرة الطيبة بعد مئات السنين، بعد مئات السنين. فإذا الإنسان وإن غاب شخصه، لكن لم يغب عمله الصالح، فبسبب عمله الصالح بقي الناس يذكرونه بعد وفاته لمئات السنين. بلال رضي الله عنه من عظماء الصحابة، وكان مؤذنا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهو ما زال معروف حتى الآن بين الصغير والكبير أن بلالا هو مؤذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنس رضي الله عنه خادم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، الذي حفظ لنا كثيرا من السنة، أيضا ما زال معروفا لدى جميع المسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. وهكذا كل من خدم دين الله عز وجل وكان صادقا في سعيه، في خدمته، لا بد أن يناله نصيب من هذا. كل بحسب عمله، كل بحسب تضحيته. فنحن نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يستخدمنا في طاعته وأن يسخرنا في خدمة دينه.
All praise due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and blessings upon His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
We continue with this live program of Al-Bayan Radio with our beloved Sheikh Khalid Isa, sharing with us some of the lessons to be learned from the story of Ka'b ibn Malik when he lagged behind in the Battle of Tabuk. Ka'b radiallahu anhu mentions in his story that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not remember him until they reached Tabuk. He realized that Ka'b was absent. And when they were sitting, when the Muslim army was camped at Tabuk, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked his companions, "What happened to Ka'b?" So one of the men from Bani Salama or Bani Salima, he said, عفواً البردة هو ما شرحت البردة البردة يعني ثوبه الجميل والعطف
كذا عطفي هي يعني هذا العطف
نعم
الكاتش
so one man from Bani Salima, he said oh Rasulullah, he was kept behind because of his fine clothes and looking at his coat. يعني he's trying to sort of make fun of Ka'b. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said, "How evil it is what you have said." He said, "By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, we only know good of him." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. So we see in this incident, first thing is the status of Ka'b radiallahu anhu with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his popularity among the companions is a proof and a testimony to his faith and of his great sacrifices and his righteous deeds that he was famous for. And so this shows that the one who does good works and sacrifices, then when he is absent, His absence is really missed. His absence is noticed. You know, not like someone who works to be famous. So the one who seeks fame and seeks mention and popularity, then he will be far from it. And whoever tries to avoid becoming famous, then fame quickly reaches him. A person may gain false fame, false popularity, if he seeks it, but that's after a lot of effort and a lot of humiliation. From this we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani the status of Ka'b ibn Malik, and in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about him, and this is proof of his great status and respect with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we mentioned, Ka'b radiallahu anhu had a lot of good deeds and a lot of sacrifices. He attended all of the battles with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the exception of Badr, and we explained why. And he used to defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his poetry, and that was something that was of great service to Islam, the promotion of Islam, the defense of Islam as well. So he was quite well known, and people recognized his service to Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, it shows us that he used to check on his companions, and there are many incidents in the Sunnah of how he used to ask about his companions if they were absent, check up on them, as he checked on a woman who used to clean the masjid when he noticed her absence. And the companions informed him that she had died the night before, and they thought that she wasn't important enough for them to wake the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the middle of the night to inform him of her death. And so they prepared her burial arrangement and buried her that night. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was visibly upset and showed his displeasure, and as if he would have preferred that they woke him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went to her grave and prayed the funeral prayer over her, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. So even those who were not popular in society, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to care for them and check on them, and used to recognize their service for Islam and appreciate them for it. Another point that we notice and we learn from this story is that some people, if they are absent in their bodies, then they are absent in their mention. No one will ask about them. Even some people, no one knows their name, even if they are alive. But people who have sacrificed, like for example the scholars and the preachers and those who work for improvement and positive change in society and mix with the people to try to improve them, and they carry their worries and their stresses, then they are always alive in the hearts of people, even though they may have died hundreds of years ago. As the poet, he said, it's possible that a person is alive while in his grave, and perhaps a person is dead, but he is standing on his feet, because a person may have died, but his mention is still alive among the people. The thoughts of the people are still with him, and this we see. A person is remembered by his righteous actions. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did so much striving and exerted so much effort and sacrificed their wealth and their lives for the sake of Islam and for the promotion and defense of Islam and giving victory to the religion, and they are remembered for hundreds of years. Look at Bilal radiallahu anhu. He's still known and popular when you think of those who strived and sacrificed and those who were persecuted for the sake of Islam. You think of the story of Bilal. When you think of who was the muadhin, the caller, the one who would call the prayer for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you think of Bilal. And his story is known by the young and the old. And all Muslims will remember Bilal radiallahu anhu. Also Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who served the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years and memorized much of the Sunnah and sacrificed so much, and his mention as well is popular, and many, many others of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it shows that the one who is true in their efforts and sacrifices, then their mention will remain, and they are, even after their death. And the more that a person works for the sake of Allah in trueness and sincerity, then his fame will remain, and his popularity and his mention on the tongues of the people even after he passes away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to work sincerely for his sake and to bless us with serving this religion. Allahumma ameen.
نستفيد من هذه القصة أيضا أيها الإخوة نستفيد منها أمرا مهما وهي أن التربية النبوية شملت ظلال عطفها كل الصحابة كل واحد منهم ينال نصيبه من اهتمام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عارف بهم وبأحوالهم ولهذا يفتقد الشخص الواحد من بين جيش كبير كما قلنا البارحة أن جيش تبوك بلغ 30 ما بين 30 إلى 40 ألف وليس سؤال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن كعب لحاجته إليه فهو ليس في قلة من العدد حيث حظي بصحبته في هذه الغزوة أصحابه رضي الله تعالى عنهم وهذا فيه درس للمربين أن يتفقدوا أحوال طلابهم أحوال أصحابهم أحوال الناس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بجانب أنه رسول من الله سبحانه وتعالى فكان أيضا يتفقد أحوال أصحابه ويرعى مصالحهم نحن نجد في السيرة كيف أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أعان سلمان لما كاتب اليهودي على مبلغ من المال وعلى زرع 300 نخلة وكيف أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بنفسه جاء ووضع النخلات الصغار بيده عليه الصلاة والسلام إذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يسأل عن أحوال أصحابه قصته مشهورة مع جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه الذي قتل والده في غزوة أحد وكيف كان أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسأل عن أحواله إن تزوج أو لم يتزوج كان يسأل وكان يعاونه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قصته مشهورة لما كان جابر على جمل له قد أعيا وأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء ويعني ودع لجابر ودعا أيضا للجمل فسار سيرا لم يسر مثله كل هذه القصص تبين أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يسأل عن أحوال أصحابه ليست الدينية فقط حتى عن أحوالهم الدنيوية ويسعى في إعانتهم هنا يعني ينبغي أن نقارن يعني نجد كثيرا من أهل الفضل لا يعرفون من طلابهم أو محبيهم إلا عددا قليلا الواحد والاثنين ويزهدون في البقية مع أن تفقد الأصحاب والتلاميذ من أعظم أسباب الارتقاء بهم في بنائهم العلمي والتربوي وإن سأل أحد من أهل العلم عن تلاميذه فغالبا ما يكون عند الحاجة إليه وهذا مما يزاهد الناس في المشايخ يعني قد نسمع أن أنتم تسألون عنه فقط عند الحاجة هذا مما يخرج من أفواه الناس ولعل الناس معهم حق في هذه اللفتة أنه ينبغي أن نسأل عنهم سواء كنا في حاجة إليهم أو هم كانوا في حاجة إلينا الأولى أن نسأل عنهم لما هم يكونون في حاجة إلى مساعدة إذن تجد بعض المشتركين في يعني مجالس العلم أو العمل الخيري لا يعرفون الغائب منهم. فهم كثير من أهل الفضل أن يلقي درسه ويذهب لا يتعرف عن على أحوال الناس، لا يمشي في حاجات الناس. وهذا من أعظم الأسباب، يعني أن تمشي مع حاجات الناس وتسعى في تفريج كرباتهم، هذا من أعظم الأسباب التي تسبب في إقبال الناس على الدعوة وعلى الدين. فانتبهوا أيها الدعاة إلى هذه إلى هذا الأمر، فإنه جد مهم. وهذه يعني اعلموا أن هذا الأمر كان يوليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اهتماما عظيما. فحري نحن بنا الدعاء أن نتتبع آثار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Of the lessons that we learn from this part of the story is the nurturing of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and lessons on how to nurture. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his nurturing extended to all of his companions. Every one of his companions had a share in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's concern. He used to check up on all of them. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم knew all of his companions and checked up on their situations. And this is why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked about one person in an army that was so huge. And we mentioned yesterday that the number of the army of Tabuk was between 30 and 40,000. So he didn't just, say, what's one person missing? He's not going to add or detract anything, or is not important. And he asked about him in spite of his having so many companions with him. And he didn't ask about Ka'b because he needed something from him, or because, there was few of them, because the Prophet ﷺ had all of his companions join him during this special expedition. Rasulullah ﷺ used to have a relationship with all of his companions and knew all of them and helped them in their personal affairs. As, for example, Rasulullah ﷺ helped Salman al-Farisi when he was a slave to a Jewish man, and had agreed to free him if he was to give him a certain amount of money to ransom his freedom and to plant 300 date palm trees. And so the Prophet ﷺ helped him to fulfill that, and even planted some date palm trees with his own hand until he was able to fulfill the ransom of the slave owner, and Salman radiallahu anhu was freed. As well, the story of Jabir, when his father was killed in the Battle of Uhud. في معركة أحد ولا جابر ولا بدر. No. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would ask about Jabir and check up on him and ask about his situation. Did he get married? Does he need anything? So it's not only asking about religious affairs, but even worldly affairs. Even one day, Jabir radiallahu anhu was on a camel that was slow, and he was really struggling with that camel. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made dua for Jabir and for his camel, and his camel started to outpace all the others and used to ride in a very good way, better than any time before. As well, what we learn is that unfortunately many of the good people or the people of preaching and teaching and sheikhs, they don't take time to get to know their students and those who love them from among the people. Sometimes they only care about a few of them, one or two, and they don't pay much attention to the rest. Even though checking up on a person's friends and students is one of the greatest ways to actually help them develop in their knowledge and in their discipline. And sometimes if you ask someone of the people of knowledge about his students, he only asks about them when he needs them. And unfortunately, as Sheikh Khalid, he said, sometimes some brothers, they complain about this. They say, you know, you only ask about us, you only call us, you only make contact with us when you need something from us. Even some people who are preachers and teachers and sheikhs or work in charitable causes, they don't even recognize if someone is absent from among them. So this is a very important lesson especially to the preachers and the sheikhs, that it's not just about giving a lesson and leaving. It's important to spend time with the students and help them with their issues and their problems and ask about them and keep in contact with them to help develop them personally and spiritually.
في هذه القصة أيها الإخوة خص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قوم كعب بالسؤال عنه لأنهم أعرف الناس به، فكعب من بني سلمة ومعاذ من أبناء عمومته، فينبغي أن يسأل عن الرجل أقرب الناس إليه وأكثرهم به معرفة، بعدا عن الغيبة وقطعا للقالة في الرجل، وحفظا للوقت وتسهيلا للوصول إلى المقصود. أيضا في هذه القصة هناك منهج تربوي، حيث أن كعبا عين وأبهم، فذكر لولده أن رجلا من قومه نال منه، هذا الذي أبهمه، فلم يذكر الرجل حتى لا تذهب الأفكار والظنون إلى غيرهم، وأخفى اسمه حتى لا يغرى الصدور عليه، وصرح باسم معاذ لجميل فعله، فإنه يحسن إذا تحدثت عن الحسنات أن تنسبها لأصحابها، وأما إذا تحدثت عن الأخطاء فأبهم، إذ المقصود هو التنبيه على الخطأ. ومن معالي الأخلاق الصفح عن الأخ إذا صدر منه أمر ظلمك فيه، فإبهام الذام وإظهار المادح سمة أهل السنة، ولهذا اشتهر عند أهل السنة ذكر المناقب ولم تذكر المسالب إلا في حال خدمة الدين، مثل كتب الجرح والتعديل. إذن خصوصا عندما تتكلم مع الأولاد، لأن الأولاد يتعاطفون مع الأب، أن تذكر لهم شخصا آذاك أو ذكر فيك ذما، هذا يغير صدورهم كثيرا، وربما ينالون من ذلك الإنسان، وربما يوقعهم ذلك في الإثم. فكعب رضي الله تعالى عنه لم يذكر لابنه من ذكره بسوء، من ذمه أمام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أولا لأنهم كانوا يحبون الصفحة، ومن الصفح أن لا تذكر اسم من أساء إليك. أيضا حتى كما قلنا لا يعطي سببا لبنيه أن يقع في الإثم وينال من ذلك الرجل. قال ابن القيم في هذه القصة جواز الطعن في الرجل بما يغلب على اجتهاد الطاعن حمية أو ذبا عن الله ورسوله، ومن هذا طعن أهل الحديث في من طعنوا فيه من الرواة، ومن هذا طعن ورثة الأنبياء وأهل السنة في أهل الأهواء والبدع لله لا لحظوظهم وأغراضهم. وهذا الرجل الطاعن في كعب من قومه فلا يتهم بإرادة تنقصه، وإنما حمله على هذا حبه لكعب وغيرته لله سبحانه وتعالى. فلما يكون الطعن من أجل من أجل الترفع على ذلك المطعون فيه. يعني بعض الناس إذا طعن يطعن لكي ينزل منزلة المطعون ويرفع من قدره. إذا كان القصد من هذا هو هذا فلا يجوز الطعن في الآخرين. أما إذا كان الطعن لله ومن أجل الدفاع عن دينه ومن أجل التحذير من أهل الأهواء فهذا لا بأس به، لا بأس به. فانتبهوا إلى هذا الأمر، لا يكن طعنك في الآخرين من فقط من أجل تنقصهم ومن أجل أن تري الناس أنك أفضل منهم. فهذا إذا كان لهذا الغرض فاعلموا أن هذا الأمر لا يجوز.
Of the things that we learn is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked certain people about Ka'b, and he asked his clan Bani Salima, because his relatives are going to know about the real reason and his real situation, those who are near to him. And Mu'adh is also from Bani Salima, from his cousins. And this is why it's important, if you want to ask about someone, ask those who are nearest to them, who know about them the most, and who are not going to backbite them, or they're going to or want to cut off relations with them. And as well, it saves a lot of time, and it's quicker to and easier to get to what you want when asking about those who are near. As well, we see as well how Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, when he's narrating the story, he's narrating it to his son. And so he specifically mentioned Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who spoke positively about him, but he didn't mention the name and didn't disclose the identity of the one who spoke ill of him. So he didn't mention and disclose the identity and the name of the one who spoke ill of him, but he just mentioned that he's from Bani Salima, so that a person doesn't start to think of other clans and other families and maybe start to hold grudges against others. No, it's from our family, so it doesn't have grudges against others and stir up tribalism and things like that. But he mentioned the tribe without mentioning and specifying the name, so that as well he wouldn't have any grudges against any specific person. So and especially sometimes children will have a lot more hatred and spite against someone who hurt their father or who spoke ill of their father or mother. And notice as well, he disclosed the name of Mu'adh, who spoke positively about him, because it's always good practice to speak good of and mention the good things about people, and to cover the ill things of people and the mistakes of people. Don't speak about people's mistakes. And if you're going to speak about a mistake, don't mention names, because the purpose of speaking about mistakes is to correct the mistake, not to assassinate the person's character and ruin the person's reputation. And this shows as well a highness in character, that possibly the reason why he didn't disclose the name of the one who spoke ill of him is that he forgave him. And this is as well of good character, to forgive the one who speaks ill of you or who oppresses you. And so to conceal the one who spoke ill of you, and as well to mention and rate and mention the one who speaks good of you, is one of the principles of Ahlus Sunnah. And this is why Ahlus Sunnah are known for mentioning the merits of people. And they don't mention the defects of people except if it's something that has a religious benefit, like the books of Al-Jarh wa Al-Ta'dil. So what we learn from this is that Ka'ab didn't mention the name of the person who spoke ill of him, either because he forgave him, and as well so he doesn't give an opportunity for his sons to hold grudges against that man. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, it is only allowed to speak ill of someone and to mention the ill traits of a person
إذا كان حمية أو زبدا عن الله ورسوله.
يعني يجوز الطعن حمية
إذا كان هذا من أجل يعني الدفاع عن دين الله.
نعم. So it is allowed to speak about the evil of someone, the evil traits of someone, if it is to defend the religion of Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. An example of that is the narrators of hadith, or the scholars of hadith, when they spoke about the narrators and who is a reliable narrator, and as well when speaking about unreliable narrators and exposing what makes them unreliable, so that they can safeguard the transmissions and narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as well, how the scholars throughout the ages spoke ill of the, yani exposed the faults of the people of innovation and the people of desires, because they wanted to safeguard the religion. They didn't do that for personal gains or personal agendas. So this man that spoke ill of Ka'ab ibn Malik was from his own people. So we can't say that he wanted to assassinate his character, but rather this man spoke ill of Ka'ab out of love for Ka'ab and out of sort of anger for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is upset that Ka'ab did something wrong. So it shows that a person isn't allowed to speak of the faults of others to assassinate the character of people, to bring, to make himself and promote himself.
النقطة الأخيرة عباد الله. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله ذاكرا ما يفاد من حديث كعب ومنها جواز الرد على الطاعن إذا غلب على ظن الراد أنه وهم وغلط، كما قال معاذ للذي طعن في كعب: بئس ما قلت، والله يا رسول الله ما علمنا عليه إلا خيرا. ولم ينكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على واحد منهما. وفي هذا بيان أهمية الذب عن عرض المسلم. المسلم هو أخو المسلم، يدافع عنه وينافح عنه وينصره إذا غلب على ظنه أنه مظلوم. ألم يقل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: انصر أخاك ظالما أو مظلوما؟ قالوا: يا رسول الله، هذا ننصره مظلوما، فكيف ننصره ظالما؟ قال: تكفه عن ظلمه. فأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بنصر المسلم. ومن نافح عن أخيه المسلم في موطن إلا من نصر أخاه المسلم وذب عنه إلا كافأه الله سبحانه وتعالى بأن يقيد له من ينصره في مواطن يحب أن ينصر فيها، ومن خذل مسلما إلا هيأ الله له مواقف يخذل فيها. فكما تدين تدان، كما تدين تدان. إذا نصرت أخاك المسلم فأبشر أن من فأبشر بأن يهيئ الله سبحانه وتعالى لك من ينصرك في مواطن ينال فيها من عرضك أو تتهم فيها بما ليس فيك، فيهيئ الله لك من يزب عنك، من ينافح عنك، من ينصرك في تلك المواطن. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى يعني نسأله أن يعيننا على كف ألسنتنا عن المسلمين، وأن يجعلنا من الذين ينافحون عن إخوانهم ويناصرونهم في سواء في الغيب أو الشهادة. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, of the things that we benefit from the hadith of Ka'ab is that it is allowed for a person to respond to a person who is accusing someone of evil if a person, he is pretty sure that the person who is making that accusation is making a mistake or is incorrect. As Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he responded to the one who accused Ka'b and he said, "How evil it is what you said. For by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, we don't know about him except that which is good." And the Prophet ﷺ did not refute either one of them. He didn't refute the man who dispraised Ka'b, nor did he refute Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And so this shows the importance of defending the honor of a Muslim, especially in his absence. And so, it's very important for us to learn that the Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. It's important that a Muslim treats another Muslim like a brother, just as you wouldn't like your brother to be people to speak ill of him and people to put him down. It's important that every Muslim treats every Muslim like a brother, to defend him, to argue on his behalf, especially if you know that or you think that he is being hard done by, or there must be another explanation, that the person is not justified in saying what he's saying. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, help your brother whether he is the oppressor or whether he is oppressed. The companions found it strange. We understand that we should help our brother when he is oppressed. How can we help him when he is the oppressor? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, prevent him from his oppression. The Prophet ﷺ also told us that the one who defends his brother when he is oppressed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him in place of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate him by making someone defend him at a time when he would love to be defended. And as well, whoever betrays a Muslim when he is needing to be helped, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compensates that person who betrayed his brother, he will allow him to be betrayed in a time where he would have love for someone to help him. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to stay away from speaking about people evilly and to speak about people in a wrong way, and to always allow us to stand up for our Muslim brothers.
نختم بهذه القصة التي تبين على أهمية أن يقف أهل الحق بجانب بعضهم البعض، أو أن ينصروا المظلوم وأن يكفوا الظالم. عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال: لما رجعت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مهاجرة البحر، يقصد الذين كانوا في الحبشة، قال: ألا تحدثوني بأعاجيب ما رأيتم بأرض الحبشة؟ قال: فتية منهم بلى يا رسول الله. بين نحن جلوس مرت بنا عجوز من عجائز رهبانيهم، ليست أي امرأة، من عجائز رهابينهم، تحمل على رأسها قلة من ماء، فمرت بفتى منهم فجعل إحدى يديه بين كتفيها، ثم دفعها فخرت على ركبتيها فانكسرت قلتها، فلما ارتفعت التفتت إلي فقالت: سوف تعلم يا غدر، إذا وضع الله الكرسي وجمع الأولين والآخرين وتكلمت الأيدي والأرجل بما كانوا يكسبون فسوف تعلم كيف أمري وأمرك عنده غدا. قال يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدقت صدقت، كيف يقدس الله أمة لا يؤخذ لضعيفهم من شديدهم. هذه القصة حسنها الألباني، لكن الشاهد كيف يقدس الله أمة لا يؤخذ لضعيفهم من شديدهم. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقر ما قالت تلك المرأة من ذكرها لموقف الحساب بينها وبين ذلك الفتى.
The Sheikh wanted to conclude with mentioning a story as narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah, that when the companions who had migrated from Abyssinia had returned, one of them said, should I not tell you of one of the amazing things we saw in Abyssinia? And they said yes. And so he said, we saw an old woman who was one of the elderly of the monks or of the of the nuns of the Christians in Abyssinia. She was carrying one of those clay jugs of water on her head, and a young man from among them, he put his hand between her shoulders in her back and he pushed her, and she fell on her knees, and her jar of water broke. And she turned to that young man and she said, you will see what happens when the judgment is established and the mouths will be sealed and the hands and the feet will testify to what they used to do. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, she has spoken the truth. So, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not sanctify a nation who does not take action against its strong in its oppression of the weak, who don't stand up for the weak if they are oppressed by the strong. Allah will never sanctify, never honor a nation that doesn't do that. So this is a very important point of the importance of standing up for justice and defending the weak and the oppressed. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that which is righteous for us.
This program was presented by Al-Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.